and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I've missed you. It seems like it's been forever since I've seen you. And Tammy, too. How are you, my Tammy?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm excited. Okay, so we're going to talk about imprecatory psalms today. Yeah, someone just posted, D-Ree said, never heard that preached in my church, right? This is we're doing the whole counsel of God. We're not picking and choosing. We're like the whole shebang. So, yeah, this is going to be a little interesting ride. I hope you guys did your homework. And so we're going to get started real quick. We're going to pray, and then I have something really, really cool to tell you that I think you'll really like. So let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us together. Thank you for our battalion. Thank you that you've joined our hearts together, and you are using us in this amazing day to expose the truth and to share this good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is coming and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The golden age, the millennial reign. We praise you and thank you that you have planned all this for us, and you've gone before us, and that you have prepared what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and it hasn't even entered into the heart of man what you have prepared for us, because we love you. And we're just very, very thankful for you and what you've done, and for each other, and for what you're going to teach us today. Guide us as we study. Give us your heart, the heart that you love your people and want the best for your people, and for us to be safe from those who have attacked us, and also the beautiful promises that you have in your word. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. So let's get started. If you guys haven't done it already, hit the like button right now. hit it right now. Don't forget to hit the like button, because we're going to go as fast as we can and share all this great news. So we might even be doing this for a couple of weeks, because there's a lot. And so, okay, so this is my website, freedomforce.live. Tons of resources over there. You guys already know about that. If you want to check out some of the other study guides that we've done, go to the video playlist right here, and definitely check all of the social media. Make sure you are following on the other social media. If you possibly can, I would really appreciate it if you would join me over on X at Melissa Redpill, trying to reach people outside of our bubble. I love our bubble. I love our bubble. But we've got to get outside of the bubble and reach the masses. So, and as much as you can, I really would appreciate it if you would heart the posts and comment on the posts. And I've been going to X school to figure out how to reach out and get out inside of our bubble. So please heart and please comment, and that will help this truth to run. I really appreciate that. All right, so here are the links, so you'll find the real Melly on all these places. And people have stolen my name, and so that's why everybody wants to be Melissa Redpill. Anyway, right. But I did get it on X. Yeah. So I've got different names.
You're not selling anything.
No, I'm just trying to get on here and share the truth. So very, very exciting. So here are the audiobooks also for the information about end times. So if you want to listen to me for 24 hours, because I read all these wonderful things to you. Now, y'all ready? Did we change the background pick? No. Same Melly, same everything. All right, so I want to show you guys something. Okay, so this is what happened. Okay, here's what happened. So last night, you know, tucking in and talking to the Lord before I go night-night. And, you know, it's dawning on me that here we are, you know, really close to starting the seventh week of the counting of the Omer. So here we are. You know, we've been gathering this bundle, this little bundle, right, in our arms for a week, for 6 weeks, and now tomorrow, Sunday, we're starting the seventh week of the counting of the Omer. And the Lord told us to count the Omer. We didn't necessarily know why, but we're just doing it in obedience. And then when we started doing this probably 4 years ago, we realized Omer, which you guys already know this, is from America. That's where our name came from. We are the golden bundle of grain. So this is actually the Jubilee bundle. And so tomorrow is the seventh week of the counting of the Omer. So it's very exciting. Here we're getting started. Now, I'm going to show you something kind of cool. This is from Leviticus chapter 23. Okay, if you go there, you'll see it's called the Festival of Weeks or the Feast of Weeks. Okay, so we are supposed to keep these feasts perpetually. That means year after year after year after year, never stopping. And those are because we'll get, he says, a blessing for doing that. And just mostly that you'll understand his word better and understand his promises better. So look at this. It says, you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Seven weeks, seven Sabbaths, okay? So count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then you shall offer new grain offering to the Lord. Okay, so you've got you bake it, okay, but you also have you bake some bread, but you also have this sheaf, like bringing in the sheaves, and you wave this before the Lord. It's a wave offering. They're like, that's pretty cool. Okay, so, you know, we kind of do that. We raise our hands in worship sometimes. And so it's kind of that type of a thing. And imagine all the people in worship waving this before the Lord. How beautiful would that be? And it would be very golden. Like a golden, you know, amber waves of grain. I'm like, wait a minute. Amber waves of grain? Did they know? Yes, they knew. They knew. So I wanted to show you that real quick. And I think I have on the site of seeing America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. You know, and you do think of it in a field that the wind is blowing and they're going backwards and forwards, and that's beautiful. But it's a worship. Think of it as worship. Amber waves, waving to the Lord, saying, we thank you, we praise you, because you have, you know, given us America, that we are that bundle of grain. Isn't that beautiful? For Purple Mountain, majesties above the fruited plain, America, America, or America, God shed his grace on thee for and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, the stanzas are so beautiful. It talks later on about, you know, oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved. You guys, you've proven that. Like Mike Lindell's proving that. He spent $60 million to try to stop them from cheating on our elections. The thing is starting tomorrow. I just posted it. I shared his post on X. I haven't been able to put it on Telegram yet, but you know, he spent all this money to try to save our country. So let's support him however we can. He's got the Lindell Offense Fund over there. You can also get some of the stuff at MyPillow using the promo code Melly. You know, he has proven himself that he is over here trying so hard to, you know, he loves his country more than mercy. And more than life. And mercy more than life. He's trying to have mercy on our country. America, may God thy gold refine. How about that? The golden age with lots of gold. Till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. How about that for you guys? In the golden age, you'll be nobles. How about that? You'll be proven to be the nobles. Instead of them, they're not the elite. We are. And every gain divine. And this, I love this one. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing beyond what our eyes see. With the eyes of faith, we see this beautiful future that is coming. Thine alabaster cities gleam. Now, I haven't seen Alabaster Cities. Our city is not Alabaster. I don't know if yours is. Where we live is not Alabaster, but it will be undimmed by human tears. We're going to see this beautiful future fulfilled before our eyes. This is where we're headed. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Most more important than Alabaster is for us to have this unity and this this brotherhood in our country. And we're going to have that. Someone just the other day, no, this isn't going to happen. Like, it is. We believe it. We believe God's promises. This is biblical. All right, so I want you to see that. And then also, you know, when you think of, like I was saying, you've got this bundle of grain. You've got this bundle of grain. And what do you think of as a bundle? You hold a bundle. And women hold, like, when they get flowers, they hold it like a baby. Have you ever seen that? They don't just hold it like this. They hold the flowers like you're holding a baby. And so it's a bundle. I want to knock that over. A bundle of joy. So get this little connection here. Okay, so let me just show you what's happening. Here we are starting the seventh week, and we'll finish, here we are, tomorrow morning is June 1st, and we're going to start the counting of the Omer for the seventh week, and here on the Pentecost, on the 8th of June, is going to be Pentecost, the 50th day. And the interesting thing is, and I don't know if I've really connected this before, but check this out, that on the 14th, Flag Day, that is also Jesus, which I know that I've shared this before, that is Jesus' birthday. So when you go if you go onto my website, you look into the videos, you look into biblical astronomy, you will see that I was able to discover the Bethlehem Star, which is the conjunction of Jupiter and Venus, and it created this amazingly bright star, because those two stars are so, so bright already. And so this was Jesus' birthday a week after the Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the day where the captives are freed and the debts are canceled. So this is, you know, it's a birthing. We're all in this birth pangs to see this kingdom come and his will be done. This is what the 42 weeks and the 1260 days and the 3.5, you know, all this symbolism that the Lord put in there. It's about this travailing, this birthing, this, you know. And so here, right after this, right after a week, within a week of Jubilee, of Pentecost, Jesus was born. This is a very, quote, pregnant time of the year. It's a birthing time of the year. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something really cool happen. The disciples did. They went to the upper room. They were there together. And sure as the world, this happened. And they got the huge blessing, the bundle, the Jubilee blessing, the pouring out of God's Spirit. What I really want is, yes, the gold. We want the gold. But we want everyone to awaken. This is what we need. Everything else can fall into place. We've talked about this for years. If people would just wake up, then everything else can fall right into place.
Right.
If the Spirit of the Lord falls on our country, if the birth of the kingdom of Christ, this is his birthday, if this is the birth of Christ's kingdom on earth, game over. It's done. And I don't know if you guys saw this. I just already posted this morning that they already, you know, people aren't going to the Pride Month celebrations. They're canceling the Pride Month celebrations. Yeah. How about that? That's really cool. They just, the air's, the wind's taken out of their sails. The air's taken out of their balloon. So I wanted you to see that. What do you think about that, Miss Tammy?
I think it's awesome.
It's very cool. I was like, okay, I want to get up and tell them right now. But I'm like, okay, maybe I'll wait until the morning and I'll tell everybody in the morning what the Lord had told me in the night. But yeah, so whenever you see that symbolism, the 42 weeks and all that, I want you to think of, this is what it's talking about, is this birthing, this laboring, this travailing, this struggle, and that we are about to finally have this baby. And it's right at Jesus' birthday. How cool is that? So I thought that you would really like that. And if you haven't seen this already, I really encourage you to study this specific chapter, chapter 8 in the book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. We're not going to go into it now. We also, you can actually watch the video on it. I go into detail. It's kind of complicated. I'm just saying. And they've really made us confused about it. But this is the book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. You get the study guide and the book and study about the Jubilee. And how they thought our Lord Jesus, when he went into Jerusalem on the triumphal entry, that he was going to keep the Jubilee and set all the captives free and restore to them what they had been stolen from them. And he was like, first things first, I've got to go to the cross. And so that it wasn't for then, but it's for now. And we've had this one extra week. I talk about this in here, and I'm not going to go into the details, but anyway, it's in chapter 8 of the book, End Times, and you can find it. Here's the link over. I'll just pop this over into the chat, and I know Songbird will pop it in too. Isn't that cool, though? I just love that. Go ahead. Do you have something?
Well, there's a couple more things on June 14th as well.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Is that not President Trump's birthday?
It is President Trump's birthday. That's not a coincidence.
Yes, that. Is it Flag Day too?
And it's Flag Day.
Yeah.
Yep. It is Flag Day.
That's a big day.
It's a big day. And it's like the 250th anniversary. It's the anniversary of
the starting
our
celebration.
The Army.
Yeah.
The Army. Yeah. Like the Army of the Lord. The Army of the Lord, really, to kick back. That's the whole point of America's army, is to kick back evil, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, we didn't realize that our country had been taken over by bad guys, and we were used for evil in many places. But, you know, the people, anyway, so it's complicated. It's complicated. But anyway, I just wanted you to see that so that you would enjoy that little tidbit. And so study up on the Jubilee, because that's really what the counting of the Omer is about, is this golden bundle of grain, this bundle. Of course, if anybody's a bundle of joy, it's our Lord Jesus. You know, he makes everything golden in our lives. It doesn't he though? Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all ready for this? Okay. Is it okay? Is it okay to pray some of these psalms? Have you guys been reading these psalms?
Yes.
They're intense. So I hope you have your seatbelt buckled tight, because they are intense. We're going to talk about it. And the answer to the question is yes. These are for us. These are for us to pray. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. So imprecatory is to bring, imprecate is to bring down judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so in the past, you might have read these and thought, you know, that's pretty intense. Is this something that I'm allowed to do? Is this something that is in Jesus' heart for me to do? And the honest truth is, we're going to start right here on, I scrolled it down. I'll start on 6. I think the first one I have to read is 69. You know, I would read these and I was like, you know, I didn't really know of anyone in my personal world that I felt was deserving of such. Clearly it's not someone who, you know, cut you off in traffic. You know, said, cast them into hell, Lord. No, that this is clearly not for people who've, you know, you are angry with, who you maybe have a personal, animosity toward. That's not what this is about. Now that we're awake, we know that the issue is that these people who've literally taken in demons. And again, that's why, Dee Reese, you will not hear this in church, because it's not, the churches I've been to do not talk about this. Maybe yours does. I hope and pray yours does. But that there are people who've literally taken in demons who walk among us. That's the awakening. That's the awakening. Once you realize that, then you know that they would have no compunction about poisoning our food, or poisoning our air, or poisoning our water, or poisoning our vaccines, or the medicine, or, you know, doing anything in the world. I'm not even going to go into it with children and all that. These people have taken in demons. They operate under the power of demons. And this is who the imprecatory psalms are talking about. Okay? So, you know, that just make sure that you, you understand that this is not for just some slight. This is not for just something that someone has done to you that you're angry and, you know, you're, you, no, this is for people.
Mad at family, mad at a brother, gets to cut you off.
No. It's about that. This is serious offenses against the Lord and against humanity. And as Bukele has been talking about, I'm sure you've heard him say this, talk about this. That's okay. We're talking about these people. These people who literally conspired against humanity. You guys don't need me to explain to you this whole pyramid, because this is the worst pyramid scheme there ever was. And then, you know, if you look at Bukele, you know, he's talking about that he's not even, in this case, he's saying, and I'm hating the criminals, he's trying to save the people. The whole reason President Trump is trying to get these criminals out of our country who will just kill, and they literally have demons in, is to save America, to save our countries. And I thank God for Bukele, because he's trying to keep the people safe. He's made El Salvador, which was one of the most dangerous places in the world, it's now one of the safest because of law and order, right? So thank you, President Trump, and thank you, President Bukele. All right, so now we're going to read this. Okay, I'm going to get back to the right screen. And we're not going to read every verse, but I guess let's do this one. Let's see. Yeah. Let's start. You know, he's praying. Let's start with verse 14. So he's struggling. The psalmist many times is struggling because of the oppressors who have done all these things to us. And we didn't understand why we were struggling with our health. We didn't understand why we were struggling with relationships. We didn't understand why we were struggling with our finances. We didn't understand that. And now we know it's all because of this evil game they've been playing against us to destroy us. And the ultimate truth is that if it doesn't stop, then humanity's snuffed out, which is their end game. That is exactly what they're trying to do. So you understand why it's imperative that we pray imprecatory psalms. Not only is it okay, it's actually imperative. It is mandatory that we do this. Okay, so Miss Tammy, is that big enough?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, better?
And we have it here too, so okay. So how far down do you want me to read?
Just all the way through until I say stop.
Okay. Rescue me from the mud. Don't let me seek any deeper. Save me from those who hate me and pull me from the deep waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me or the deep waters swallow me or the pit of death devour me. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me. Don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble. Come and redeem me. Free me from my enemies. You know of my shame, scorn, and disgrace. You see all of that my enemies are doing. Their insults have broken my heart, and I am in despair. If only one person would show some pity, if only one would turn and comfort me. But instead, they give me poison for food. They offer me sour wine for my thirst. Let the bountiful table set before them become a snare, and their prosperity become a trap. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and make their bodies shake continually. Pour out your fury on them. Consume them with your burning anger. Let their homes become desolate and their tents be deserted. To the one you have punished, they add insult to injury. They add to the pain of those you have hurt. Pile their sins up high and don't let them go free. Erase their names from the book of life. Don't let them be counted among the righteous.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God,
by your saving. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Thank you. That's plenty. That's good. that's a lot. That's a lot. This guy's having a rough day. And we all have had. As humanity, we've had a rough day. We've had lots of days. And so this is the cry of our heart, Lord. You know, when you see like little DJ, that little guy, he's got the cancer and, you know, he's poor little thing suffering. And, you know, I pray for him, you know, let's pray for him that, you know, the Lord will rescue him. But how many other children have suffered and died at the hand of these people? It's from that place that they refuse to have mercy. They refuse to have pity. They actually laugh. They think it's funny. They think it's entertaining to see us suffer. This is demonic. Right? We know that now. We're awake now. We understand now. We don't have a problem with the neighbor down the street who's got dandelions in their yard or whatever. They come into our yard. It's not about, you know, being angry with a neighbor who ticked you off about something. You know, everybody's got their own. We realize each person of us has had so much oppression on them. Everybody's stressed to the max. And it takes the Spirit of the Lord to be able to overcome all that they have done to us. So he's saying, redeem us from our enemies. Redeem us. We've been under shame and scorn and disgrace by these people. They have literally laughed and put us to shame, tried to, and scorned us and disgraced us. You know, while they, as we know, they're constantly, you know, tracking us, and Lord only knows what kind of videos they have of us. Oh. I mean, it's just, it's awful. These people. And, you know, the Lord sees. The Lord sees everything that they have done to us. And they're in, remember how Q said they wouldn't reveal a lot of the things that they have done because it's just, excuse me, more than we could take. More, it's really better that we not know. It's hard for, Dan Bongino said this the other day. He says, it's hard that when I've taken this role because I see things that I didn't want to see. That's not exactly what he said, but that's, you know, I think it's better for humanity to not know some of the things. I know I've learned things. It's better, I think it'd be better for people not to know. It's enough for us to, if we could just awaken and understand enough to, for us to all as collectively, as humanity, to remove these people from the earth and then going down our way because it's some of these things are too hard to grapple with. Their insults have broken my heart. I'm in despair. I know a lot of people who've been in despair. Only the Lord can keep us from just giving up. And I know that's why you're here. You know, we're here together. There's a lot of channels that are like trying to get you just to give up, you know. And so I'm so glad you're here. You know, we do not believe it's inevitable that we will fall. We believe it's inevitable that we will win. As President Trump said, this is the golden age. I promise you this is the golden age. All right. So they've given me poison for food. Of course, this is when our Lord Jesus was on the cross. He was quoting this. This is, they were fulfilling this. They were doing this to him. It wasn't enough for them that he was on the cross. It's not enough for them that they've done all these things to us. They just go, dig and dig and dig and try to make it worse. You know, they offered him sour wine, remember, for his thirst. You know, they just, they can't, it's never enough. What does the says in Revelation? They open their mouth as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. It's impossible for us to even imagine because we don't understand that level of evil. Mm-hmm. The only way you can understand it is to realize that they've taken in demons, and the demons literally operate in them, and you know, and they've knowingly done this, and they have not cried out to the Lord to save them. You know, the Bible has plenty of, you know, maybe some of them have, but you know, the Bible has plenty of examples of people who said, Lord, deliver me from these demons. You know, like the woman with the seven, Mary Magdalene with the seven demons. And then the Syrophoenician woman who's called upon the Lord to save her daughter from the demons. You know, but these people are like, they like it. They think it's fun. They think it makes them gleeful. You know, and they refuse to repent. So what does the Lord say? Let their, he tells us to pray this, let their bountiful table, because they've got everything in the world. They've got tons and tons of money. They've got all this power, all this. Let that table become a snare. What's a snare? It's a trap. It's like they get their foot hung in a noose, and it traps them. Let their prosperity become a trap. Because they can't turn loose of it. I know someone right now. I know someone right now who's been extremely successful financially and, you know, just a big, big name. You probably might even recognize the name. This person has been caught in a trap of their own doing, their own sin, and they refuse to repent. They refuse to come clean. They refuse. And it's just, and this person is someone who's supposed to lead others in the way of righteousness, and they're refusing. So obviously, first of all, no one, you know, they have no moral authority anymore to say anything, because everybody's like, well, you're clearly a hypocrite. You know, don't tell me about repenting. You do. You do you. Right? So their bountiful table, it's a shocking thing. It's become a snare. It's trapped them, because they, you know, in one thing, it's probably good that, and the psalmist even says this in another psalm, it says, it's good that, you know, don't let me be too wealthy, because then I might forget you. Remember that psalmist? That's what he said. He says, you know, I don't want to be too poor, so I disgrace your name, but I don't want to be so rich that I forget you. Anyway, so their prosperity has become a trap. You know, you look at Soros, you look at all these, and they just double down and triple down and quadruple down, and now it's too late. The man can't even think anymore. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and make their bodies shake continually. The psalmist is not playing. He's like, bring all this that they've done to others, make it twice as much for them. Isn't that what it says in the book of Revelation? We've studied that. We just finished. If you guys are new, we just recently studied that. That in, I think it's Revelation 17, that, you know, they brewed a cup of terror for others, brewed twice as much for them. This is what the psalmist is saying. So what do y'all think? Do you feel like you can pray these prayers? If you think of what they've done to children, then you have no problem. If you know some of the things that I know, you have no problem praying these things. Let those people who have done these things to children, let them go blind so they cannot see, and make their bodies shake continually. Like Bukele has, you've seen all these people who've been put in prison who literally, you know, kill for fun. And Bukele said something very interesting in their case. He says, you know, if they repent, they can go to heaven. But on earth, they're never going to see the light of day again. Mm-hmm. They're never coming out. Mm-hmm. Let their homes become desolate and their tents deserted. In other words, the problem is when they have a family, they destroy the family. They destroy the people around them, and they cause them to continue in the same way for generation after generation after generation. Let this stop. Break that cycle. Let their homes become desolate and their tents deserted. To the ones you punish, they add insult to injury. What is this talking about? To the ones you have punished. If you remember, we've been studying this book right here, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. Do you remember the whole point of the children of Israel? In the Minor Prophets were talking about how that they were basically taken out of the land of Israel. And they were punished because they had involved themselves in Baal worship. And we kind of are in the same situation where we didn't realize that we were participating in Baal worship. We didn't realize what was done to us. Some people did, some people didn't. Whether it's with the abortion or with some of the things that we've eaten, Lord only knows. You know, some of these things, you know, we just hope maybe we never do find out. But anyway, just that the Lord will cleanse us from it. But the bottom line is, we're in a chastening. We're in a punishment phase, not to destroy us, but to awaken us, and to cause us to turn around, okay, and to really pay attention, and to stand up and fight for our country. I think that's one of our biggest things, is we have not really done what we needed to do for our country, and I think one of the biggest problems is because we didn't realize who our enemy was, who we were fighting. All right, so, yeah, to those who are under his punishment, because, and this is in Hebrews 12, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son, as you're his child. That's why he's chastening you, for correction. For what son, what son is there, whom a father doesn't chasten. If you don't get chastening from the father, you're not his child. And that's the problem with these people. They're not getting the chastening from the Lord. They're not getting the correction. They're getting the punishment. They're getting left to themselves. But the ones that the Lord has punished, they add insult to injury. They just make it worse and worse and worse. And the Lord even said this, that the Assyrians were used by the Lord to punish the people, to straighten them up and say, you cannot be involved in Baal worship. You can't do this. This has got to stop. And so they punished. And the Lord said, I want you to use you as the punishment agent, but you went too far.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about that? So, yeah, and they add to the pain that those you've hurt. Pile their sins up high and don't let them go free. Our sins, the Lord has cast as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are gone. In the sea of forgetfulness, they're gone. But their sins are stacked one on top of another, and they are not going free. They will pay and pay and pay. This is what he's saying. Pile them up. And, you know, what did Paul say? He says, I've sinned in ignorance. Remember that verse he says? What does it say, Tammy? Remember that verse it says something about, Paul said, I've sinned in, I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
There you go, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So he's saying that he sinned against the Lord, but it wasn't knowingly. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference. I'm going to show you that real quick here. Q talked about knowingly. These people have done this knowingly. You just look up QAnon.pub and you look at the word knowingly over and over. It's talking about Schiff. Schiff is from this family, from one of the bloodline families, from one of the, you know, the demonic, you know, ones who've taken in demons and who have run the world for years and years and years. And so he says knowingly. Every time he talks about Schiff, he says that they know. He didn't do it ignorantly in unbelief. He did it knowingly, right? So here's another one on June 24, 2019, 3485 is the post number. Knowingly, knowingly, knowingly. That's the issue. These people knowingly have fought against humanity. These people have knowingly committed treason. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose, and they refuse to repent. And we've seen that. 7 years of that, we've seen that they refused to repent, knowingly took part in this illegal manufactured effort, attempted coup to take down the president of the United States. Did you see that this week the truth came out about in the Congress that Nellie Orr, CIA agent, knowingly lied to Congress and about what she did to try to get this Russia hoax and a coup against a sitting president. And of course, her husband worked for the DOJ. So that's how they work it. Is one works for the CIA and one works for the DOJ. And they work together, which they're not supposed to, but they do because, oh, they just happen to be married. So they can work together on these things. So anyway, have pillow talk. Anyway, so this is what it's talking about. This knowingly, these people have knowingly done this. Uh-oh, don't give me. Come on, little mouse. All right, so erase their names from the book of life and don't let them be counted among the righteous. We are so blessed, you guys. We are so blessed. You know, our sins are not piled high. Our sins have been washed away in the blood of Christ. We have been given a heart to repent. We've been given a heart to walk with the Lord. We've been forgiven, and we have been, our names are in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we, you know, it's not, you know, when you look at humanity, 99.999% of the people are just, you know, we all have sins, you know, we have to be forgiven, just vanilla, regular sins, you know, that everybody commits, whatever. The difference is this knowingly fighting humanity. These are the ones whose names are erased from the book of life. So he's praying for that. So there you go. Psalm 69. Pray it. How can someone find out what bloodline they are from the Bible? Okay, so that's the chop on the block. Okay, so super, super quick. This is and I've talked about this a little bit before, but I'll just go into it a little bit. If you have like a pedigree, like, you know, like your dog, you know, if he's a pure blood dachshund, if you have that pedigree and they've been keeping the records of you for all this time, then you would probably be able to go and trace that back. But the thing is, back in the day, they destroyed the temple. Remember that in AD 70, and all of those records were destroyed. And the Lord did that on purpose. If you back up a little bit before that, when the people of Israel were taken off into captivity in Babylon, they still had those records. And so the people who came back, if you remember, and you can read this in Nehemiah and Ezra, they said, okay, we've checked these names, and these people are in the... they have the genealogy, and we can tie them right back to Abraham and to whichever tribe they were in, and so they can be Levites, you know, and they can, you know, have the land and all that. But these people, they said, we can't find their name, and so, you know, they can live here, but they're not going to be able to, you know, be part of, you know, the Levitical priesthood. They're not going to be part of owning or, you know, having the land. All right, so even then, you know, it was hard to find all the people there. But this was back in Nehemiah's time. What is that, like 1,200 years before Christ? Something like that. Then, fast forward to after our Lord Jesus went to the cross, you no longer need the genealogical records. And Paul talks about this. He says there's endless genealogies. Everybody's trying to get down to the genealogies. He says that he doesn't want us to spend our time. I think it talks about that. He talks about that in Galatians. He doesn't want us to spend our time on that. He says because the Lord Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. There's no more Jew or Greek, no more slave or free. There's no more separation. He does not want us to build that wall back up. And that's my problem with the... what you call it, Scofield Bible, is they build that wall back up and they say, oh, there's this class of, you know, in God's the Bible, there's the Jew and then there's Gentile. And that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to be one in Christ. So the thing is, many of us likely are, you know, I love my book, you know, the Missing Links Discovered in Assyrian Tablets. The people of God were scattered all over, and you can trace them by their flags and their language and all that, and you can trace their tribes, and our symbols on our the presidential seal are the tribe of Manasseh, one of the sons of Joseph, got the double blessing, you know. But that doesn't mean that every person in America obviously is from the tribe of Manasseh, right? So it's really the answer to the question is it's impossible. And the gene pool, even after you go back 20 generations, unless your family has been like only marrying people from the tribe of Manasseh or only, you know, marrying, then that's the only way that you'll, and have that pedigree, that's the only way you'll be able to trace it back. It just becomes so vast so quickly. It becomes impossible in this huge, gigantic family tree. The family tree just becomes enormous within just even 10 generations. It's mammoth. There are some who have a pedigree. I think that President Trump is one of them. I think that he, you know, as I've had videos on my channel where I talk about that he is from, he's from the royal line. He's from both lines of Judah. I have, you know, what I think is strong evidence that he is, because his family has kept that quote pedigree year after year after year. And ultimately, the flesh profits nothing. It doesn't matter what tribe you're from or if you are from a tribe. Because the only thing that matters, I think this is Galatians 3:6, he says that those who have the same faith as Abraham are the children of Abraham. This is how you know if you are in the family, is because you're walking with the Lord. And you maybe are from the physical bloodline of Abraham. Maybe you are. Way back in there. So there's a spot of that Abraham blood back. But that doesn't even matter, because Esau had the bloodline, and he was right. He was of the demons. He worshiped demons. He was the grandson of Abraham. So mm-hmm. The flesh profits nothing. The only thing that profits is faith. All right? Does that help? All right, so that is Psalm 69, and I'm not going to read all of it. I just want to give you a smattering of what Let me see. I think this is a fairly short one. Yeah. We might as well read this whole one. Psalm 5. Yeah. I just wanted to give you an idea what the imprecatory psalms are and say and help you understand who we're praying them against. So go ahead, Miss Tammy.
Okay. Oh, Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Oh, God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore, the proud may not stand in your presence, for you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests murderers and deceivers. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Make your way plain for me to follow. My enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery. O God, declare them guilty. Let them be caught in their own traps. Drive them away from their many sins because of their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love.
Awesome. Yay. Isn't that so interesting the way the psalmist prays? I really encourage you, if you want to really build up your prayer life, read the Psalms, because these are all sanctioned prayers. They are all, you know, biblical, truly biblical prayers. So he's praying, he's groaning out to the Lord. 9 times out of 10, when you read a psalm, they're at the beginning, they're just at the end of their tether. I've given up. It's just, I don't even know what to do. I'm at the wit's end. And then by the end, they're filled with hope and joy. If you look at it. So this is what happens with prayer, is as we call upon the Lord, we takes us from, you know, maybe some discouragement to filled with hope. So yeah, the Lord takes no pleasure in wickedness. He cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. It looks as he says he will destroy those who tell lies. He detests murderers and deceivers. Well, there you go. I thought God loved everybody. What's this about? What is that? Here you go. What does the Bible say? He detests them. Detests them. Detests murderers and deceivers. I didn't put it in there. He hates them. These are the things the Lord hates. And it's not, it doesn't say he hates murder and deception. It says he hates to see those individuals. That's what it says. They've misled us. And they've, unfortunately, when you sugarcoat God's word, then you take away its punch. Because there's a clear delineation between the wicked and the righteous. Again, we're talking about people who knowingly murder, knowingly deceive. You know, there might be someone who is going to war, and they've been led to believe that they need to, you know, this is the enemy and you need to kill them. And they really do believe that they're doing the right thing because they're trying to save, you know, whatever. And maybe they've murdered. This is not who I'm talking about. This is not who the Lord is saying he detests. It's those who, can I call out Fauci? I'm just going to call out Fauci. Someone who intentionally creates a bioweapon to kill humanity. Knowingly. Someone like a Bill Gates who knowingly has made these vaccines and forced these people to be given these vaccines and basically sterilized entire, you know, villages. Knowingly murder and deceiving. These people work under the power of demons. This is because they've joined in league with demons. I just posted the other day. I'm going to try to put more memes on my website. Did y'all see the post that I did about the 33 and the 66? Explaining that the 33s are the ones who fell with the one-third of the angels fell and they've become fallen angels. And then two-thirds stayed with the Lord. We stand with the angels. We stand with righteous angels, holy angels. We're the righteous humanity with them. So, you know, this the one-third, which is the ones who've fallen away, these knowingly have joined in league with demons. Right? And the Lord hates, detests. Anybody? Yeah. There you go. If anybody? Yep. So, before we go on, I want to bring this up. 1 John, very important. This is a passage I've talked about it before, but it just sounds so odd. It sounds so strange. Why in the world is the Lord saying this in 1 John chapter 5? He's saying, if you see a fellow believer sinning in the way that doesn't lead to death, pray, and God will give that person life. You've got a fellow believer, another person, a good person, but they're doing something wrong. Pray, and the Lord will help to restore them so that they, you know, don't wreck their family or, you know, end up in prison or, you know, save their life. But there is a sin that leads to death. A sin that leads to death. What is he talking about? He's talking about those who knowingly take in demons. This is a sin that leads to death. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to cast out the Holy Spirit, to take in these demons. This leads to death. There's no coming back from it. It's done. Listen, this is one of the craziest verses in the Bible. I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. Mm-hmm. That's intense right there. To not even pray. Almost like, don't even pray for Fauci. Don't even pray for Schiff. They made their bed. They are happy in that bed. Let them go. They're apostates. And why would he say that? The only thing I can think of, and you guys tell me in the chat, why you think that he's saying this. I think he's saying not to pray for it, because he knows our hearts. When we're praying, then you're sitting there going, oh, well, maybe I think he's had a change of heart. And they'll say something and you'll think they've changed their heart. No, they haven't. They literally are filled with demons. How many times do I have to say it? I'm talking to myself, you guys. You know, because we just can't even imagine. We can't imagine it. Go ahead.
Oh, and they know the Bible sometimes better than we do. And they know our hearts. And they know how to deceive us. Because our wish is for all to come to the you know, glory of God.
Yes. So. Exactly. We're so easy. And then we'll trust them and then we'll take the jab or something.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're sheep. You know, so yeah. All right. So when we're reading this again, remember, this is serious stuff. And the Lord said not to even pray for these people. So here, when you look at this, he says, you know, the Lord detests them. He's going to cast them out of his presence. Declare them guilty. Let them be caught in their own traps. Like Fauci, like Soros, like Bill Gates. Drive them away from because of their many sins, for they've rebelled against you. They are rebels. They are standing on the side with the demons. Declare them guilty. When you talk about the word declare, it's about justification. And don't think of the word justification as in like we're trying to justify our sin. It's just when you look at the word justified, it talks about this in early part of Romans. It talks about that we are justified by the blood of Christ. And what that means is we are declared righteous because of the blood of Christ. When you call upon the Lord to be forgiven and you recognize the blood of Christ is the only thing that can declare you righteous, your sins are obliterated. They're washed away. It's not like, okay, well, you stand before God and you're like, okay, you've had more good than bad. It's not about that. It's that your sins are gone. You stand before the Lord blameless. No sin at all. You stand just as if you're before a judge and he's like, you haven't done anything wrong. Not one thing. You're positively righteous. You were declared perfect. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But in this case, in verse 10, he's saying, oh God, declare them guilty. Declare them guilty. And the way that you know if you've been declared righteous in his sight, white and clean as snow, yes, Raiden Mucker, the way you know is because then it's being worked out in your life. Sin does not have dominion over you. You are set free from sin. You're not perfect. Okay, it's not about that. It's about that you are, perfect is you might slip up from time to time, whatever. It's a matter of that you are, sin does not rule you. These people, clearly you can tell, because sin rules them. Sin rules them. They are not justified in God's sight. They are declared guilty, and you can see it in their actions. They lie, they cheat, they deceive, they murder. This is all they do day after day after day. Okay. All right, and they have no compunction at all.
No conscience.
None at all. All right, so let's do one more. Oh, this one's is this a little short one? Okay, this is a short one too. All right, so let's do. Okay, just read that yellow part right there for me, could you?
Okay, sure. I am worn out from sobbing. All night I fled my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. Go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. May all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly turn back in shame.
Okay, clearly this isn't about the guy who cut you off in traffic. Okay, this is about the guy who has been trying to destroy humanity. May they be disgraced and terrified. Okay, can y'all get into that? Can y'all get into that prayer? I can. Lord, may Bill Gates be disgraced and terrified. May they be suddenly turned back in shame. May George Soros be turned back in shame, disgraced and terrified. May Hillary Clinton be disgraced and terrified. We've been praying that one way or the other, maybe not as flowery as this in Psalm chapter 6, but we've been praying, Lord, expose them, destroy them, bring them to the sky, make them the offscouring of the earth, and parade them before captivity of the kings in a procession of scorn and shame and mockery. All right. So this gives you an idea. Here's the Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence. He hates them. He will rain down blazing coals and burning sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with the scorching winds, for the righteous Lord loves justice. In the past, our forefathers knew these psalms. They knew we were the Omer. They knew this. They wrote the song America. They knew all the symbolism. One of my dear friends says that her grandmother always says, don't forget, you are an Israelite. She was, you are one of God's people. And so, you know, she wanted her to receive the blessings that are for the Israelites that are all throughout the Bible. Whether you're physical progeny or whether you're grafted in, you are an Israelite. So, yeah, this is what you will not hear. If anybody has been hearing anything like this in their church, please let me know and I will go to that church. Unfortunately, I just don't, our modern day church is not feeling it. And they, unfortunately, like, oh, well, what big deal? The big deal is the Lord put this in his word for us to do all of his word, not to hand pick what we believe and what we don't believe, what we pray and what we don't pray, and the Lord, in my strong opinion, this is imperative. We need to pray these now. I gave you guys a list on the social media. You guys look on the social media. Let me see if I can go grab it super quick. But I want you to be literally reading these psalms and praying these psalms. Let me see if I can. I want to get the list of all the ones that we are doing, right here. Okay, here it is. This is your homework. Okay, we go back to where we are. Sorry, got to get back to where I was trying to be. Here we go. Here is your homework. Read these Psalms and pray these Psalms. This is our duty as the Freedom Force Battalion. Many people don't realize this is biblical. They don't understand what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing down demons. We're talking about this spiritual warfare that we're fighting is to bring down these demons. And we are the ones who know. Many, the church clearly doesn't know. And a lot of people who are in the battle, maybe they don't know it's literally biblical. As much as we're trying to share it, many of them just don't get that. They don't get that. But we do. The Lord has put us here as the Freedom Force Battalion because we know this is biblical. This is the spiritual warfare. This is the battle of Armageddon to destroy the evildoers from the earth. And these are our prayers to remove them. Okay? And, you know, this is not like someone saying, oh, I've got a word from the Lord. I've got the word right here. I don't need a word from the Lord. I've got this one. I've got his word right here. All throughout his word. All this throughout his word. Okay, so that's your homework. Oh, I've seen violence done to the helpless. I've heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise up to rescue them as they have longed for me to do. This is what the Lord says. Praise the Lord. He has seen all these things. All right, so now that's your homework for next week. Okay, so then next week also, I've got more to add to this, which is some of our songs, our hymns that we've sung, that actually our forefathers would sing. And they've taken these things out of the hymn book. They've kind of made our songs so just more superficial, topical, and you'll never hear some of these things. But in the old-timey songs, the hymns, they were serious. They were serious about bringing down the evil. So we're going to do that next week, as well as some of the other things that our forefathers have written for us. So that'll give you a little primer in the imprecatory Psalms. And so by next week, you'll have I want to hear from you next week about how you have been praying the imprecatory Psalms, because we need to all be praying these imprecatory Psalms. Okay, so, and maybe Tammy, you can help me that maybe every day let's share one on social media. Can you help me to do that? I've got so many things I'm doing, but in Jesus' name, I think that'll be a great thing. Thank you, Tammy. I know you. She's got us. Tammy's already always got us. All right, so, okay, I think that's everything. Yeah, we ready to pray? Mm-hmm. I think that's it. That's it. All right, let's pray these evil demons away. Now that we've prayed the Psalms, Lord, we thank you that you've put these Psalms there for us. Remove them from the face of the earth. We know that you detest them, and we hate what you hate, Lord. We hate this evil that they have literally worked in league with demons to destroy humanity. And we just pray for all these poor people who've fallen victim to this, and they didn't even realize that they were listening to literal demons. Lord, save us from our enemies and remove them from the face of the earth. Oh, Lord, thank you that you have set this beautiful Omer for us to count, and knowing that your kingdom will come, that we're going to birth this kingdom on this earth. We're going to have peace on this earth and health and wealth, just like your word promised. Thank you that you have the whole counsel. Lord, help us to be faithful to teach and to preach and to believe your entire word. Whatever you have in your word for us, we receive it right now as yea and amen. And I just thank you that you are helping us every day to complete the task that you have given to us, the assignment you've given. I just pray for all those that you are placing in positions of authority, that you will bless them and strengthen them and make their way clear so that they can get this job done and to remove these evildoers. And that everything the enemy attempts will fail miserably, and that they will be just cast out and run for their lives. Lord, I pray for this trial coming up on Monday. I pray that you will expose Dominion, and that everyone will see it. Everyone will see what they have done in literally using treason to steal elections and thereby steal our country. Lord, I pray for you to strengthen Mike Lindell and his attorneys. I pray that the enemy's attorneys will be thwarted at every turn, and that there'll be a righteous judge who will make sure that the truth comes to the light of day, oh Lord. Do not let our enemies have victory over us. Remove our enemies from us so that we can enter into these beautiful days. Help us to birth this kingdom on earth. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys. Love you. Love you. All right, so don't forget, go to Lindell Recovery. I'm going to post it on the social media. LindellRecoveryFund.com, I think it was. Go to my ex, Melissa Redpill, and you'll see his Lindell Recovery. If we could all just do $5, so, I mean, whatever you can do to help to get this done. He also said that he was just basically trying to liquidate some of these Giza Dream Sheets. That's why he reduced them to $49.98 for whatever price. So go over there and get some, so he can have some cash to help in his legal defense. I'm telling you, the man is an unbelievable patriot. Lord bless him. So that's mypillow.com/Melly. So try that. Anyway, I guess that's it. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Don't forget, I'll see you tomorrow morning on our regular show on Sunday morning. And then, and I'll see you over on the social media. All right. Is there anything else, Miss Tammy?
I think you got it.
Okay.
That's a lot to pray.
I know. It's a lot. That's a lot. All right, guys. We love you. Okay.
Love you.
And we'll talk to you later.
Later.